Okay, let us turn to 2 Corinthians 9:7. Okay, today we are going to look at this topic. What is the difference between tithes and offerings? We all know that tithes is 10%, and offerings is up to us to give. You see how the Lord moves us. So we need encouragement to give to the cause of God, to give to the cause of Christ, since God has given much to us. We give because God in the first place gave to us. We love God because God first loved us. And we need to see the biblical teaching on giving. Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given to you. And this should be the principle of giving. And this is should be the encouragement of giving, because God exhorted us to give, and God will give us so that we are bound in good work. Giving is the way we respond to the grace of the Lord. We have thanksgiving. Some people have thanksgiving. Some people are so thankful that they got their first job, so they give a thanksgiving, a gift to the Lord. We express our thankfulness to God. Not that we expect God to give us much more. See, we must not think that, oh, I give to God so that God will give me more. I give to God 10 ringgit, so God will give me 20 ringgit. This is not a trade. This is not an exchange. We look at the principles of giving. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Even in the building of the tabernacle in the Old Testament, and God asked people to give cheerfully. If any man, you see the word if any man want to give, let him give. And our motive in giving should please God. And we should be willing to give to God because we have experienced the grace of God. And we should not give in a sad manner, as if God is taking advantage of us. And I, over the years of ministry here, one day I came across the wife of a retired pastor. She told me this story. And this story happened in the peninsula. I do not want to mention the name of the congregation. And this retired pastor go around to preach among churches. And one day he came to minister to a certain church. And he, after minister a few times, he find that the giving is very low. Not that he expect the church members to give too much, but it's very low. Then he looked at the cars driven by the church members, those that attend the church. It's a very nice car. How come the giving is very low? So one day he decided to preach a message. And he, for courtesy's sake, he conveyed the message to the person who assigned him to preach in that congregation, the senior pastor. So the senior pastor agreed, but the church member protested. So the day when he came to minister to preach the same topic like me, very few people and no people turned up. Very few people turn up means they really protest against this kind of teaching, because all this while they probably have not been exhorted to give. So when they hear people teach about this kind of teaching, they thought the retired pastor is going to force them to give. So this is very sad. And this is not something what God wants. We should not be forced to give. You know, I've heard of story in old church, not our church, but it's in another denomination. So two members who are well-to-do, they take out the checkbook. So they have a giving competition. How much you write? They are write more. It's something like go for bidding, you see. Go for auctioning. You give more, I give more than you. So the person change the figure. And this is not the way. Okay, this is not the way. We see that in Exodus chapter 35, verses 21 to 22, 26-29 and chapter 36 verse 3, we see the principles of free will offerings. And there came everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments, that is meant for the priests. And giving, first of all, we see that giving is not about feeling like giving. So if we give, we give according to feeling, then we should sing him according to feeling. Today I don't feel like singing. Today I don't feel like reading the Bible. Today I don't feel like praying. We should not give way to feeling, even though sometimes feeling have overtaken us. The people give to this one-time need of building the tabernacle because they wanted to give. They give according to how the Lord moved their heart. And the Corinthian believers were asked to give one-time offering for the poor church in Jerusalem. They were suffering from poverty, lack of food. This is something above their regular giving in the church. So this is a special offering, apart from the tithes. This is an additional, apart from the tithe giving. And the principle given here should not be misunderstood. Give willingly or don't give at all. Sometimes we read the Bible according to our own understanding. We may not have a malicious intent, but we read it according to our own understanding. We say, oh, if I feel like giving, then I give. If I don't feel like giving, God may not accept my gift. This is something we fear. So we don't give. Because my heart don't like it. My heart don't like it, though I don't give. So if I give, the Lord may not like it. This is the wrong understanding. But give as your heart is moved, and give willingly above your regular giving. The amount is determined by you. Because the Lord have entrusted the money, the resources into their hands. You are just a steward. You give as the Lord have moved you. Now we look at the biblical examples of free will giving. We look at the godly example of the Macedonian Christians. And the Apostle Paul was called to preach in Europe, and the Lord brought him first to the northern part of the Greek peninsula. So he came to this part called the Macedonia. He heard the Macedonia call. So he went. He went to the city of Philippi. He went to the city of Thessalonica. Okay, these are the two famous churches in Macedonia. And the church of Berea. So in 2 Corinthians verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 4 to 5, can I ask our brother Kenneth to read? 2 Corinthians 8, verse 4 to 5.
Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God.
We see that the Macedonians gave because they first gave themselves. You see, the giving is an act of worship. So when we first give ourselves, we offer ourselves for God's service, then we also give our wallet also, isn't it? And there was a story of a missionary effort in Europe. And the missionary was laboring among the barbaric people. And one day, one of these barbaric people was baptized together with other believers. So he asked the pastor, the missionary, baptize me, immerse me, but accept this right hand. Then the missionary asked why. Because afterwards, when I got involved in fighting, I still need to use it. means he is not willing to give himself totally. You see, it's very sad. So when we give ourselves totally to the Lord, of course we give our wallets also. We give the resources the Lord has given to us. They gave beyond their duty because they know God has given so much to them. Actually, the Apostle Paul was hesitating to receive from them because all these people are lacking of resources. I believe that in the Chinese New Year, you have seen this kind of dish called pun choi. I was quite ignorant about this a few years ago until one sister in the Lord told me the story. The story of pun choi. The story of pun choi, according to this sister, has come from this communal living. Okay, this structure of the house in China where the people live in a communal. So when the guests come, they are lacking of resources. They don't have enough dishes. So they go to each family and collect some. So this is the origin of pun choi. You know, of course, they don't have the... Today you have the abalone and all these big prawns. There's no such thing in the interior part of China. You see. But they give whatever they have. The best. You see, we cannot say this is the best in the town, but this is the best from the family. They give according to what they have. And these people are so poor, the Macedonians. The Apostle Paul hesitated to take the offerings from them, but they keep on pestering the Apostle to receive them for the good of the saints in Jerusalem. So we thank God for such cheerful giver. Give cheerfully. Reason is for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is pleased when a believer who is happy with giving. When we are happy with giving, we are actually showing our thankfulness to God. Whatever we give, the Lord is pleased. You know, sometimes the adult want to test the children. When the children have some sweets or candy, then adults, especially those times, the modern adults may not do so. They always say, give me one, give me one. Actually, they don't need the candy. They don't need the chocolate. Give me one, give me one. But if the child is willing to give one, then the adult is very happy. The adult may go out into the shopping center and buy a lot and compensate for the loss of the child. In the same way, the Lord may bless us much more so that we will be abound in good work. So let us look at the Old Testament example. One Old Testament example in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Okay, the screen is not moving, is it? Oh. Okay, it's moving. Okay, 2 Chronicles 24:4. And Joash, the high priest, was minded to repair the house, or the king was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. And this is the work of the Lord. The story was told in the Reader Digest. A man go for interview to be a police officer, a police constable in Hong Kong. So the interviewer asked, how do you disperse a crowd? If suddenly a crowd of people gather, how do you disperse them? He said, I will start a collection. You see, I will start a collection. When people do a collection, people run away, you see. People ask for money, you see. But the people here rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest because they have a wooden box to give to the Lord. I remember during my days in FEBC, there was a Reverend Timothy Toh called the Hezekiah box. So tall, I remember. It's made of good wood. I think made many years ago. Very good wood. And people who want to give during the weekdays, they walk in the church and just put in. The opening is so big. So just put in money. Give free will offering. And some church, they don't have an offering bag passing around. They don't have offering plates. But they put a wooden box somewhere around the church. Then people give. Okay? Willingly. Because they don't want to pressurize people to give. From verses 1, 11 to 12. Thus they did it day by day, and they gathered money in abundance. Not only once, not only one day, but they collect money every day so they have enough for the building fund. And the king and Jehoiada, the high priest, give it such to such that did the work of the service of the house of the Lord. because this meant for the renovation of the building after the house of the Lord was abandoned and was abused for idolatry for so long. So they give and collect a lot of money. And the people are so happy. This is something unusual. Except God opened the hearts of men, they cannot do this. It showed a willing attitude of giving for the service of the Lord. Now we go to the spiritual reason for giving. We should give willingly because we are investing in eternity. You see, I was told that a lot of funds are running away from Middle East, from the Gulf country because of the warfare. A lot of hot money are running into, I heard, Singapore and Hong Kong. Maybe some to Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur. This is a natural consequence. We are so fearful our investment will turn into zero. But how about investing for eternity? Do we prepare ourselves for eternity? Do we want to share, have a part in the work of the Lord by meeting the spiritual and physical needs of other believers in Christ? You see, the people in Macedonia were mindful of the needs of the saints in Jerusalem, even though they have not met them. The Bible says in Acts 20-35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. But the people in the world believe the reverse. It's more blessed to receive than to give, isn't it? Isn't it? We see people use all kind of ways to take advantage. Okay, for their own benefit. It's very sad. But if we were to believe this truth mentioned by the Lord Jesus Christ, it is more blessed to give than to receive. God will bless us and we will be the God-living witness of God's blessing. God does not tell us not to give if we cannot give cheerfully. And God wants us to be cheerful, but He also wants us to obey Him. You see, a merry heart doth good like a medicine, isn't it? The Bible says. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doth good like a medicine. So when we give, there's a blessing. There's a joy. You see, Abraham Lincoln made one observation. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States of America. He said the rich people in the world hardly smile. Because they're always in a high tension for their wealth in this world. But God wants us to be cheerful, because when we're cheerful, we are actually praising God, you see. When people look at us, wow, these people have changed, have trusted in the Lord, they're cheerful and they're glorifying the Lord. They will, the non-Christian will be impressed. I mentioned this story in the Chinese service, but let me mention, probably I mentioned in the English service, I cannot remember. And this is happening in a neighboring country. One day, one gardener in Jakarta, he was singing as he watered the plants in the house of a rich man as usual. And suddenly, today, the tycoon boss asked him, "How come you're so happy? I'm much wealthier than you." To be frank, this boss is truly very rich. Just to give you an idea. Recently, I saw the news. This boss sold his high-rise office building in Singapore. High-rise building, I think 40 or 50 stories office. He just sold it. Can you imagine how much that is in Sing Dollar? There is only one piece of his property, let alone... Don't count other properties in Indonesia and Singapore and other places in the world. So how come you're so happy? And this gardener also not so well read on. He cannot, don't know how to begin to witness the gospel. He just, "I don't know, so you just follow me." Follow me to the church. Then he was brought to a Bible believing church. And there this multi-millionaire trusts in the Lord. You see, a cheerful attitude is a good witness for the Lord. He did not say anything. He did not witness to this tycoon, and this tycoon don't listen to him also, isn't it? You want to witness to the top 10 richest men in Malaysia, they don't want to listen to you. Oh, I got more money than you. No, I'm not going to listen to you. But because of his cheerful attitude, he brought one soul to the kingdom of God. The way to cheerfulness is not to refrain from giving, but redirect our heart to God, the ultimate source of goodness in life. Only then our heart will be cheerful. We give because God gives to us first. Now, after talking about offering, now we come to another section called tithes. Okay? We know that tithes belongs to the Lord. Tithe is a tenth part, not less than a tenth part. Sometimes people use this word loosely. We understand, especially the non-Christians and those people who do not understand the Bible. He tithe, actually what he gives is only 3% only, or maybe 5% or 6%. Tithe is a tenth part, 10%, not less than the tenth part, which is holy unto the Lord, which is to be set apart and give to the Lord. When we fail to give our tithes to God, actually we are robbing God. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 8 says, "Will a man rob God, yet he have robbed me, because he say, wherein have he robbed thee, in tithes and offerings?" When people do not give to the church, the needs of the church, when the church people have to go around the coffee shop, "Hey, Tauke, can you please give something to Calvary Jaya?" We go around coffee shop in section 17, Sipa. Do you think we glorify the name of God? Then the Buddhists give 100 to you. Then the Muslim give 100 to you. Then the Hindu give 2,000 to you. Then they tell, you see, these Christian people are so miserable. Their church cannot give. So they go around in coffee shop. And this is a scenario I saw when I was ministering in one in the East Malaysia. I was sitting at a coffee shop having a drink. Not that I don't want to give, but I was wondering, what happened to the church? That the church got to go to the coffee shop, go to every table and ask for offerings for the building of the church. What happened to the Christian? You see, the work of the church ought to be supported by God's people, not from the non-believers. Now, we see the origin of the practice of tithing. It is not from the church. It is not the idea of the pastor or the session members. The practice of tithing began long before the giving of the law. Abraham tithed to the high priest Melchizedek. In Genesis 14:20, he says, "And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thy enemies into thy hand, and gave him tithes of all." Abraham is the one who gave tithes. And Melchizedek didn't say, "Please collect tithe from Abraham." Did he say that? No, Abraham met him, the high priest of God, and he gave tithes willingly. The tithe was just a starting point and a test of obeying God. So some people have a wrong understanding. Well, if I become a Christian, means 10% of my property belongs to God. So I don't want to be a Christian. I face such situation. So some people ask me, "Randy, if I become Christian, where have to give 10% to God?" I say, "Yes, the Bible says so. But if you don't want to give, the church will not force it from you. The church treasury will not issue an inland revenue form to every member. Please fill out the form, dear members. After the service, you are going to collect. Then the church treasury will remind you from month to month. Preferably, we may have auto debit deduction from your bank account." Do we do that? If we do that, then miss the point. You see, even tithes you have to give to the Lord willingly. We tithe because God tells us to do so. In Deuteronomy 14:23, ask Brother Kenneth to read. Brother Kenneth. Deuteronomy
14:23.
Yeah. Tithing is intended to train us to honor God, which is a tribute to God. How we honor the crown, how we honor the government, how you honor the ruler, by giving your tax, isn't it? I say, I love Malaysia, but I refuse to even give 1 cent of tax to the government. I respect the ruler, but I don't think I want to support the crown. Can you do that? It is an expression of depending on God. You see, we Asians are very good in mathematics. We are always champion in mathematics. So we say, well, after minus 10%, I left 90%. But in the first place, if God did not give you 100%, do you have a chance with minus 10%? Tithing is a reminder of our due to God. We literally count God's blessing to us. Just now, Chairman leaders were saying, count your blessings, isn't it? So, counting your tithe also count your blessings. So, in your first pay, maybe you have 2,000, 200 belongs to the Lord. Some people ask an evangelist, should I minus after everything? Something like do I minus after spending everything, you know, then I give tithes to the Lord. For example, you have 2,000, after I spend I got 200 more, then I give $20 to the Lord. Then the evangelist say, well, do you want gross blessings or net blessings? The choice is yours. You see? The choice is yours. You see, God doesn't want to squeeze us. God wants us to give willingly like the honey drop from the honeycomb, you know. Have you seen a honeycomb? You try to watch a honeycomb, how the honey drop. God does not want to squeeze that. Okay, let it drop willingly. We literally count God's blessings to us. Through time, God is reminding us He owns everything. What we have, actually our life, belongs to God. When we become selfish, God rebukes us as robbing Him. You see, God hardly wants to take anything from us, except we want to give Him willingly. You see, you just try to imagine, if you want to give anything to the king, I think the king will, you have to ask permission whether the king wants to accept or not. Because the king is so rich, he owns everything. He has everything, he doesn't need everything. Anything, okay? So we see tithe is a way we honor the Lord. How about the New Testament teaching? We begin by the Lord Jesus taught tithing. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus did not rebuke the Pharisee for being minded to tithe. Okay? I asked our brother Louis to read Matthew 23:23.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercies, and faith. This ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other.
So we see the rebuke, even in the rebuke of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ endorsed the teaching of tithing in the New Testament. The tithe belongs to the Lord. This is a divine basic expectation. That's why the Lord says, ye pay tithe of mint, and this ought ye to have done. But He rebuked the Pharisee that, and not to leave other undone, that is, the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. So if you think this is too much, then you should be thankful for the abundant blessings. It is easier for us to tithe when our income is 2,000, isn't it? When our income reaches 20,000, well, you say, wow, a lot of money. But you should count the blessings that the Lord has loaded on you frequently. Now, with the principles of tithing, The New Testament does not teach Christians should give less than 10% but more. There are some people who go around and say, oh, under New Testament, we are under grace. So under grace, we give any amount we like. But the rule is that more divine revelation expect more thoughtfulness. When God reveals, choose to reveal to us more of His blessings, and more, and God expects more in the stewardship also. Being under more divine grace does not mean living lower standards than the law. The law is the basic, isn't it? The law is the basic. One theologian made this one observation. The law is the basic. The moral is a bit higher. The spiritual side, God's expectation is the highest. The spiritual side. Okay? So the law is the basic. If you can't do the basic, how you show the loyalty? Recently I met a friend. You know, recently the JPJ have arrested a lot of drivers of expensive cars without paying road tax. And this friend told me, well, there was one case, the enforcement officer arrested one car and found that this expensive car is using the license of a motorbike. You pay the motorbike license fees and you put in your expensive car. Can you imagine you drive, for example, a Bentley with the price of a motorbike insurance? You really don't understand why people do that. Okay. We ought to show respect to the Lord. You see, we are living in the world that is controlled by divine law, apart from the civil law. Okay? Because law was a tutor, according to the Bible, Galatians was a tutor to lead us to Christ. Therefore, the tithe is a tutor that leads us on to giving. So tithing is a basic. Okay? Christ gave all. Christ, we thank God. You see, in the epistle, there was one verse that says, thank God for the unspeakable gift. Who is this unspeakable gift? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Living under grace does not mean God no longer expects anything from us. God does not lower His standard of giving. Grace does not lower our responsibility. Christians are called to give beyond tithing. For example, when you see in a family, when the children go out to work, get the first job, how should the children respond to the to the care of the parents all these years? We start by giving a gift, isn't it? We don't say, oh, my father and my mother don't need this. Even though sometimes our father and mother say we do not need, but it's a gesture of thankfulness for the children to give. Isn't it? Some children never give. Some children give once a year, but it's a very small amount. It represents the heart of the children. Even though the parents don't say anything, the parents saw the attitude of the children. Isn't it? So, as a thankful Christians, we are to give more than 10%. So tithes is what we ought to give, 10% to the Lord. That is non-negotiable. But offerings as the Lord moves us. As we grow into Christian maturity, we should learn to give more. How much, we cannot tell. It's up to the Lord. How the Lord have impressed in our heart towards His cause. You see, as a guidance we give to the church that the Lord have put us in. You see, if you are members of this church, then you give your tithes to the church. You see, and for other cause, then you see how the Lord guide you. We cannot give hard and fast rule. May the Lord bless us as we grow in maturity. See, from time to time, we see there's a roadshow for donating blood, isn't it? I saw it in a shopping center here and there. Is it a good exercise to give away our blood? Traditionally, we don't think so. We don't like to give away our blood. But according to those who know the medical health, they say it's good from time to time you donate your blood because you have new blood in your body. We will not become poorer by giving the resources that the Lord has entrusted to us. But our life will be enriched by knowing the Lord in a closer way, knowing the heart of the Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the teaching of Thy word. Help us to understand Thy will and doing the will of the Heavenly Father. We pray for those who stumble along the way, may Thou restore them. We pray for those of us who are doubting, may Thou strengthen our faith according to Thy promise. Help us to be faithful stewards. Help us to disperse, to give willingly, to give cheerfully for the cause of Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.